It was almost midnight when our helicopter arrived and sank in Afghanistan. In the final moments before we touched down, no one spoke. We secured our packs and turned on our night vision goggles. We were about to be dropped several miles from a compound that would become our base. There was no time to waste. We had to hike to the site, then spend the rest of the night filling sandbags and preparing for the attack that would almost certainly come at sunrise. I was an intelligence collector for the United States Marine Corps, so my job was to learn as much as I could from the villagers about the Taliban, the fundamentalist political group that was waging war in Afghanistan. If we captured a Taliban fighter, I was the only one in the unit who could question him. The guys I was heading out with were recon marines, reconnaissance forces. My expertise was in communication. Theirs was in combat. They were the real deal, an elite force of special operations guys who were tough and experienced. They were like professional athletes, and smart, too. To earn their trust, I needed to prove that I was able to keep up on long nighttime patrols and in gunfights. I also needed to show that I brought something to the battlefield that they couldn't provide themselves. I had been on another mission in an agricultural town in southern Afghanistan, but I knew this was going to be a different fight. In the previous mission, I had served with a British Royal Marine named Jack. He was supposed to come with us to Sangin, but he changed his plans. "I'm not going back there," he'd said. He had served there a few years earlier when British forces first secured the area. It's the kind of place where you turn a corner and there's two Taliban guys standing there. One's got an RPG, that's a rocket-propelled grenade, and the other's got a machine gun, and they're just waiting to light you up. The place is bonkers. Sangin had that reputation. The Taliban were bolder there because it was an important location for poppy farming, and the opium trade helped fund the Taliban. We expected them to have a lot of fighters and a lot of firepower. The Taliban controlled the families in the villages who had no other choice but to go along with what they were told. The Taliban took what they wanted, shutting down the local economy. These villages were extremely poor. Often, the Taliban were the only ones who owned anything of much material value, from sneakers to cell phones to the little Honda motorcycles they drove around. When they needed food, they'd show up at markets and bakeries and take what they pleased. If a motorcycle broke down, they'd find the only mechanic in town and take the parts or make him fix the bike at gunpoint. They ruined weddings, breaking musical instruments and punishing guests for dancing. They recruited, or just took, young boys to join their forces. With a thud, the helicopter landed in a cloud of dust. We stepped out into the night, rifles up. The desert earth was firm under my boots, and a thin layer of silky dust washed over everything like water. I tried not to cough. The helicopter rotors whipped up a heavy haze of dirt before lifting the vehicle back into the sky. There's nothing like the sound of that hum disappearing into the distance. At that point, it's just you and the guys on the ground, with no machine to protect you or whisk you away. That's when it gets real. We started moving, single file, to avoid IEDs, improvised explosive devices, and bombs. All I heard was the sound of our boots scuffing against the dirt and our packs shifting on our backs. With very little light pollution, Afghanistan is supposed to be ideal for stargazing. But the dust in Sangin never settled. Overhead, the dark sky looked like a smudged impressionist painting. We walked 2 or 3 miles over rolling hills heading west. In all, there were about 60 guys, 3 platoons of Marines, plus attachments, like me and the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team, EOD, trained to find and dispose of bombs, as well as members of the Afghan National Army. Our gear and packs were heavy, 70 pounds or more, but we were well trained. After a while, my heart rate steadied as my body got used to the idea of being in Sangin.